You mentioned as well Godot there, so there's also the creative response you've had to the archive, which is this play.
Which I've finished a draft of, which some of you have seen bits of. This is my creative contribution to my fellowship. I've long thought about this is an idea which I've had for a long time. It's called Full Moon, and it's 120 pages, and it's a play based on a possible meeting between Sam and somebody who was in Paris in 1944-45, during the liberation of Paris. And it's based on a possible meeting between Beckett and a writer I'm familiar with, P.G. Wodehouse. And it's based further on this moment in his diary. I just want to read it to you because it's always struck me as very remarkable. In his diary, he writes, This is in December 1944. So Wodehouse is now, he's living in Paris. He's been disgraced in Germany. He's fled to Paris. Beckett actually, factually, Beckett is still in Roussillon, in the resistance. He doesn't come to Paris until March. So the play, based on the meeting, is not actually possible, but it's possible-ish. It's a fabrication. And in his diary, Wodehouse writes, "I always think it is such a pity that experiences happen to the wrong people. I don't suppose, for instance, I shall ever make anything of life in Paris during the liberation." He's writing to Chandler. "Whereas if you had been here, you'd have got a wealth of material. The afternoon of the big parade down the Champs-Élysées, Ethel, that's his wife, and I and Wanda, his Pekingese dog, went to the park near the Marigny Theatre on the Champs-Élysées, and Ethel managed to wriggle to the front rank of the crowd, leaving me with Wanda, the dog. I was just starting to give Wanda a run on the grass near one of the restaurants, which are in the gardens, when I saw a policeman coming, so edged away, and at that moment a brisk burst of firing came from the restaurant and would have outed me had I been on the grass. Then the guns began to go off all over the place, and I was in a panic because I thought Ethel was still in the crowd. I rushed about looking for her and was swept into the theatre with the crowd. A dead girl was brought in on a stretcher and laid down beside me. It was all rather ghastly. Eventually the firing stopped and I was able to get back to the hotel where we were staying," and so on. And I was very struck by the juxtaposition of the experience of being caught up in this gun battle, and the fact that he says, "It is such a pity that experience happens to the wrong people." It's an extraordinary thing to say. And I've been long thinking about putting him in a situation with... There are a number of famous writers in Paris in the Second World War. Hemingway, Orwell, Martha Gellhorn. There were several Americans.
Gertrude Stein,
yeah. Orwell. And there's Wodehouse, caught up in this gun battle, saying this is not for him. And I thought it would be very interesting. I had thought in the past to do a story or to do something. And then I thought, well, when this fellowship came along and I had this opportunity to do a creative piece of work, I'm not able to write a Beckett-type piece of prose. That would be beyond me, beyond my competence. But I thought it would be interesting to imagine that they could have met in this chaos outside the theatre on the Champs-Élysées during the liberation. And that's it, really. The play is about their meeting. So it's a comedy. I've finished this draft, which tells me that what's missing, and an awful lot is missing. There's some good moments, but you've read it.
Yes. Yeah.
It has its moments, but it has no plot, which is a bit of a drawback. I had to find a plot for it. There are a number of problems dramatically with it. One of the key problems is that Wodehouse and Beckett, to a greater or lesser extent, are very polite, very reserved, introverted, shy, and they're not positive figures in a theatrical situation. So it's very hard to imagine how they would interact on a stage. And I've somehow got to find a way of making that work. No, it's not working at the moment, but it might do. But there are some wonderful, and there are some. I made a note here of the I mean, drama obviously depends on the clash of opposites. And one of the strongest things for this is that Beckett is unequivocally Irish and Woodhouse is unequivocally English. They are both icons of Englishness and Irishness, in a way. They're also masters of English prose. I mean, they have what you might call perfect pitch. Beckett, every sentence of Beckett is outstanding for its perfect pitch. Every sentence of Woodhouse, oddly, is equally outstanding for it has complete perfect pitch in prose terms. So they both have something in common. Yet, Beckett is a resistance fighter. Woodhouse has been mixed up with the Nazis. He's been associated with the Nazis in the minds of the press, and Beckett would have seen him as a collaborator. So that there's an opposition. Then most dramatically, I think, and interestingly, Beckett, of course, is the heir to modernism. He's a great modernist. I shouldn't think Woodhouse ever heard of modernism. And would see his job as to be an entertainer. He's hugely successful, popular. He's been on Broadway. He's been a journalist, which I think Beckett would have disparaged very strongly. So there are plenty of opposites, but there are also some very good underlying sympathies which are rather extraordinary. I will share with you. For example, Beckett loves sport, as you all know, a great sportsman, and actually was also a great cricketer. And he's one of only two English writers to have appeared in the cricket almanac Wisden, which is remarkable. Woodhouse loved cricket, so they love cricket. And we've talked about this today.
Yes. Well, the play contains two moments of rather affectionate banter around cricket. And in a way, it's this sort of lovely juxtaposition against the backdrop of wartime and post-war Paris that these two figures are coming together, and it's cricket that's one of the things they're bonding over.
Yes, and if you don't understand cricket, the page in question is absolutely gobbledygook. But
I didn't understand a word of the content. I enjoyed
the other thing that they both share is they both share an admiration for the works of Agatha Christie, which may come as a surprise. Which I got actually from Jim's book. Woodhouse loved Agatha. I knew that he loved Agatha Christie. But when I discovered that Beckett loved Agatha, I thought this is very, very good for me. So I've exploited that a little bit. They both love music hall. I mean, Woodhouse loves Gilbert and Sullivan. Beckett has a knowledge of music hall songs and so forth, plays the piano, loves to sing. There's a lovely bit in Jim's book where he gets drunk at a party and sings Old MacDonald Had a Farm, which I used. And so there's enough to kind of keep them together, but then they've also got these oppositions. Mm.
And one of the oppositions that I think is interesting is you've kind of hit the point at which Beckett is about to become
Beckett.
And Woodhouse is perhaps now...
will never be Woodhouse again.
Well, exactly, and he's past the point of incredible fame and he's suffering terrible trappings of his associations, and whether on purpose or otherwise.
No, they're both... Woodhouse is 60, Beckett is 40. So they're both at a turning point in their lives. Woodhouse is a turning point from being, as you say, very famous to being forgotten and despised. And Beckett is about to become... So there's that going on. So it's partly about that, and it's partly about the clash, as I say, between one kind of writing and another kind of writing. Mm. And this affection that they have between the two.
And bringing together two figures who come from... there's Agatha Christie there, but also Beckett as the modernist, the inheritor of these kind of great figures, the early 20th century writing. And Woodhouse... coming from a different tradition, in a way. And we've talked a bit about Beckett's debts to various different figures. Mm. And one of the interesting things you do is pull out that there's two choices who are very important for the two of them. So it's also bringing together two traditions.
Yeah. And Beckett's tradition, I mean, I think to be an Irish writer is a very... still is, but was then a very complicated business. Mm. And... it's worth saying also, I think, that both of them, to a greater or lesser degree, had grown up in the aftermath of the humiliation and annihilation of Oscar Wilde in 1896, which is, you cannot overstress the the sort of psychological trauma involved in the in that trial.
Mm.
Anybody who Beckett was born in 1906, so he would have grown up, and he would have known in Dublin. He would have there would have been Wilde was well known in Dublin, and Beckett would have come across people who knew, when he would have been talked about in bars in Dublin,
mm.
and his story would have been repeated again and again, and it was a brutal annihilation by the English establishment, of which Woodhouse, in a sense, was part.
Mm.
But at the same time, he, as a young man, would have been traumatised by what had happened to him, that happened to Wilde, in the courts. And so I think there's the whole place of Wilde in Beckett's life and in Woodhouse's life is interesting to explore. I mean, Woodhouse, if you think of, I hesitate to mention these names in such august company, Bertie Wooster and Jeeves. but Jeeves, the butler, and Wooster, this silly young man, is a straight lift from Oscar Wilde. It's a straight lift from Born to Being Earnest, which he acknowledged. He never writes about it, but and you can't actually pin it down to a text, but he acknowledged it in conversation. Woodhouse did.
Mm.
So there's an appropriation there, which is interesting to go into.
Yes.
So there's a lot.
There's a lot there.
A lot,
and one of the other things you do here as well is give, in this sort of imagined meeting, is give some of those famous lines of Godot to Woodhouse. You kind of are playing with the idea yeah. of where Godot yes. comes from.
Yes, because the plot of it is similar. So it begins with an empty stage like this and just white light. So it has that... There's a bare stage and two chairs. So you're outside. So when you come in as an audience, you're seeing what would appear to be a cafe. And then there's a burst of gunfire. But then you hear the sound of singing off stage and chanting and crowds.
Mm.
Then there's a deafening burst of gunfire. The lights go out. And when the lights come up, there's Beckett and there's Woodhouse. And they're on stage. And Beckett has saved Woodhouse's life in this shootout. That's the setup.
Mm. Yeah,
I should have made that clear before. And so then they begin to talk, and they begin to discover who they are. And as you very kindly say, it is patterned after the opening of Godot.